The night that Jesus was betrayed, he prayed. Today I want to promise you that I'm going to inspire you with the good words of Jesus in that prayer. Now, all of you sitting here live in Rockford. I'm on the internet. This will be watched by some 100 odd people today. It may reach some 400 to 500 more by next week. People in London already know about the stabbing of a black man by a white man in Walmart off Alpine over the weekend. I don't know that it'll make it to London news and Atlanta special clickbait that there was another murder yesterday. 4 dead, 7 stabbed, not dead. Can I say brown on brown and not get yelled at? There were others involved. It was a neighborhood on the south side. You can watch the internet, get into Second Amendment rights right away. Well, if we'd had guns. And there's actually some truth to that, and yet it also doesn't help the pain even a little tiny bit. That poor kid from Auburn High School seemed like the right kind of kid to me for Rockford, Illinois, the kind of kid we want more of. And whatever is going on in the life of this other man who was driven mad, and that's his claim already, he's crazy. Whatever is going on in his life, I think we can begin by saying a godless country makes for mad people. And so if you're now just a little more afraid to go to Walmart or downtown or the mall or out of your house, that's normal right now. Because that's the story just about every single technological social media is going to tell you one way or the other, unless it's click here, buy this now to fix it. But the goal of the stories is to isolate us in fear. And now, having been isolated in fear, we are watching fearful people react in fearful ways, rage and insanity. And I suggest that the posture to take right now is very much like the one that Jesus took on the night he was betrayed. Although I'll say this, I don't think we have to believe that we're all going to get crucified, right? I don't think we have to believe that Rockford or Illinois or the United States of America is going to collapse into a race war. I don't think we have to believe that's a future. But I do believe that if we don't pray for God to stop it, that that's what somebody wants. And if we think we're going to stop it, we're fighting beasts much bigger than we are. And so again, the simplicity of the Garden of Gethsemane on that night as a place of great power, wherein Jesus acknowledges that he has no authority to decide what he's going to do, but he has every bit of power to decide how he's going to do it. And he decides not to do it the way modern man, natural man, ancient man, any man without the Holy Spirit does it, which is to flee, hide, cry, whine, complain, and shirk the duty. But notice how he does not shirk the feeling. And that's kind of what I want to talk about as we look at his words here. So if you'll find your way however you want to Matthew chapter 26, we're just going to look at the red letters if you've got that option. Starting at verse 36, where Jesus says, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And I think this is somewhat what I'm asking you to do with this sermon. This is what Jesus asks us all to do when he ascends into heaven, which is to trust him that what he is doing is so important that you don't need to know about it. You just need to worry about what you're worried about and stop worrying about it. Stop trying to fix it and pray. And Jesus says specifically pray for him, actually, at this point, he says to these guys. And as you know, I mean, they're not going to be able to do it. When I read almost the entire chapter, it wasn't even the entire chapter a moment ago, from the middle of the congregation with us all standing up, at some point, did your legs start to tell you that this was too long? Did you kind of get that moment where your head checked out for half a second and you were like, is it over yet? I mean, can any of you raise your hands and say you didn't have that once? I mean, I had it. I was reading it. You know, I had it. And so this is our problem. stay here and pray while I go over there. And we just can't. So as I try to encourage you to more prayer in your life with the words of Jesus, do know that it's the Holy Spirit who inspires every word, and shame is not going to get you anywhere. Shame is not going to grow you one little tiny bit. It'll leave you kind of anemic. But what is Jesus doing with his prayers? Why would God pray, right? You can get into a conversation about the incarnation. He's not just God. He's God and man. And as a perfect man, he experienced everything that we experienced. There's nothing that Jesus doesn't know about as a man, okay? And in this way, he knows what it's like to know you're about to be betrayed by one of your 12 best friends, to be beaten, and then crucified. He knows that's coming. He sees the path he must walk. And he doesn't pretend it's not scary. That's where his words are. I lost my spot there. 38. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. So he begs them as his friends. Today, there will be a number of special services in the Rockford community to attempt to inspire hope amongst the people of Rockford. And I don't exactly decry, you know, Governor Prisker tweeting out his condolences. I mean, I'm glad the governor noticed. But 611 Auburn has got a lot of blood being shed there now. They want to shed more blood in this city. I can't help but wonder about these authorities that want the blood to stop, want us to believe that they want it to stop, but then don't do anything to stop it. And again, when they call out that they have empathy with us over this, here, come to our one church service that we'll do for the whole community this one time. And then everyone can go back to their licentious, selfish, greedy lives where they ignore God, don't ask for him to do anything, teach the children they're monkeys, and then expect it all to work out. I'm sorry, but this is a really poor showing, even if we get the whole city to show up today, which we won't. We honestly need the whole city to show up at one place, put our faces on the pavement all together, bow before God and beg him to spare us from this kind of insanity from the generations that are rising up beneath us. Otherwise, we're all going to get murdered in our beds by people who don't even know what humanity is. Now, again, as I say that, I don't know the future, but I do know the power of authentic and actual prayer. And all I'm saying is that it's not a showing you do to get some more votes this year right after the tragedy and then it all vanishes and nothing ever gets done. If the mayor's really sorry, he'll change something somewhere and he'll make it known he won't abide by it otherwise. Otherwise, he's not really sorry. Now again, what can I change? I can just tell you, I can't change anything, but I can ask Jesus to. And you can too. And we can together. And when we find we are, as he said it, exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death, that's the time. That's the time to know you've got God's ear. Now, Jesus does teach us how to pray to a God who listens. Verse 39, oh, my Father, if it is possible, right? Not, why won't God show me he exists? Or these kind of demands you get from people, right? No. This is more like a child saying, I would like more. But I also understand that I don't see everything, right? If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And that has to be taken with what he said about the cup of suffering that he shares at the table. The body and blood that we eat and drink together, he sees it all together. He knows this one big picture. And he's not really asking that he would not save us or that we would not have the great feast or any of that, but that if there were a way for the cup to have just a little less wrath on him today, please. That's a great prayer. That's an amazing prayer. Oh, Jesus, let this cup pass from me. You can use that anywhere in your life at any time. And, you know, you're not having to die for the sins of the world today, so there's a good chance you get an answer that isn't just follow through, my son, although That's a glorious answer when you get it. It's not wrong for you to want the suffering to pass. It's not wrong for you to think that it's a despairing moment. It's not wrong for you to have nowhere to go, to have no answers, no solutions, no hope. It is wrong for you to think that God isn't listening. He says, not as I will, but as you will. He will repeat this prayer multiple times, right? Verse 42, oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Right? And then he says the same thing as the third time. But in our, again, brief remembrance today, I want to drive into you my promise to inspire you by the good words of Jesus, which is that his words are your words. His life is your life. He prayed so you can pray. He walked so you can walk. Your job to be a Christian is not to be like Jesus so you can be a Christian. Jesus died so you don't have to stay the way you are. You're not going to be Jesus by the time you die, but Jesus is going to be you from now until then and beyond. It's the order, cart, horse, right? The whole argument of all false religion and all false Christianity just tries to take the cart, our good works, and put it in front of the horse, Jesus. And then they want to have the good works pull the horse somehow. No, it doesn't work. But if you just put Jesus in front and then let him pull you into the good righteousness of his everlasting life, all these kind of soul attacks you have about why you haven't been good enough at this, or how you should have done more of this, or if you let this moment pass, it'll never work out. All of that can just die. Just die on the cross in him. And you can just live knowing that you're a slave now. You never weren't, but you got bought at auction by God from the devil. So you were a slave of the devil, now you're a slave of God, and he says you're a son. So stay over here and pray while I go over there. In the name of Jesus, amen.